Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Feedback and Insights, share number 168. We're in this really fundamental book, great book, I've Got to Get Out of My Own Way, by Avram Tversky. And a lot of this is so key in life. And if we internalize it, it could really, really change our lives for the better. There's one chapter that when I first read the title, it really, really hit home, just the title itself. This is the title of this chapter. Are you a victim of internal terrorism? And it hit home because a lot of people do this. They terrorize themselves. For the past few decades, he says, there's been a big consciousness in regards to terrorism, that the idea of defending against it is extremely difficult. You don't know where your enemies are. You don't know where they're coming from. And then there's something called internal terrorism, when there's a force within us that makes us do things that are self-destructive. Like external terrorism, we could be unaware of where the enemy is. He said that one man said as follows, "When I heard that people had two personalities, I was envious of them. I had about 16 personalities. There were 16 different voices in my head telling me what to do. Sometimes I would listen to one, at other times another. I was messing myself up. I went for some therapy, and my psychologist pointed out to me that I was the chairman of the board. I repeat, my psychologist pointed out to me I was the chairman of the board. Anyone can say what they wish, but I don't have to listen to anyone if I don't want to. So I may have 16 personalities with 16 different voices that my head's telling me do this, do that, but I am the chairman of the board, and I will make the decision. Now, I never thought of myself as a chairman of the board. In fact, I didn't even think that there was a chairman of the board, just a bunch of opinions. And if there would be a chairman of the board, it would hardly be me. I didn't have enough self-confidence to occupy that position. It's a fascinating observation. Very often, we don't recognize our own conscious, valuable self, our neshama, our seichel Hashem put into us, that we are the chairman of the board. We may have conflicting opinions within us, conflicting desires, conflicting, confusing things pulling us in this direction and the other direction. Ultimately, we have the ability to be the chairman of the board, to be the deciding factor. Most people that are self-conscious are those that don't have a concept of self. Or, as he puts it a different way, people who have a real self are not self-conscious. Some people are not at peace with who they are. They may even not even be certain just exactly who they are, and therefore they don't trust their own judgments as to who they should be, or they may try to please everyone by conforming to what others want them to be. And we all may have different roles in these circumstances, but as long as we consciously decide what we wish to do in each role, we can have a healthy personality. And they don't need to conflict with one another. You see, if we constantly change our personality to what other people are thinking, or what's best in this situation to feel comfortable, you're like a camel on that constantly changes their colors and adapts to whatever others expect them to be, or how others desire us to be. And we'll have no personality that we can claim our own. You have people like that, where you don't really know their personality because they just comply with whatever personality they're near. And you drift through life that way, carrying yourself wherever the wind blows you, like a drifter who has no goal. And it's very difficult to have a sense of self if you have no idea that one of one who you are and why. And very often this failure to determine what you want out of life is a result of a low self-esteem, is a result of little self-confidence in one's ability, the inability to lacking of self-confidence of making good judgments. Because when you make good judgments, it carries a feeling of responsibility. And a person may feel guilty if his judgment is wrong. And the fact is that as long as we do the best we can do and are sincere in making our judgments, we should not feel guilty if the results are unfavorable. The right and wrong about a judgment should be based on how we arrived at it and not about what the result is. It shouldn't be based on results. It should be based on doing the best you can under the situation. Here's an example. Let's say you have a physician that is very careless and very impulsive and does surgeries on the fly for no reason whatsoever. And let's say someone did that, made an unnecessary surgery, but while doing that, discovered an unsuspected cancer, and he removes it. Now he, in this case, actually saved this person's life. But is he a good doctor? He's a terrible doctor. He's an unscrupulous doctor. Even though in this instance, where he cut through unnecessary surgery and caught a cancer and removed it and saved the person's life, he's a terrible, terrible doctor. On the other hand, there's another doctor agonizing over whether or not to perform a risky operation, consults other physicians, discusses the options, even if he's religious, daven Hashem for siyata d'shmaya to help him with the operation. And he finally decides that the operation holds the best chance for the patient to survive. But unfortunately, the patient does not survive the surgery. This doctor was ethical and trustworthy. Did the best they could. Agav, it just crossed my mind now, but I want to just mention this story because it's a very moving story that I heard, where a doctor was, by his own Hachnasas Sefer Torah, he was making a Hachnasas Sefer Torah in his house, and there was a lady there that was there, and had a sudden heart attack or something happened in this doctor's house. The doctor tried to revive this person, tried to save this person, and this person died. And the doctor was crushed. She was alert for a little bit, and then she passed away. I may not have the exact detail of the story right, but the context is what it is. Tremendous Chalisha Sadas. Felt it was a punishment of some sort. He tried to save so many people's lives. Even the Hachnasas Sefer Torah was because of the honor of that or whatever it is. And this person died right there. He went to one Rebbe that explained as follows. Says, you don't understand. The person died, but I guess was alert prior to dying. And he comforted her, calmed her. And that he was a shliach to do that. You turn it on the head. But the bottom line is good doctors sometimes lose patients. Who would you choose as a doctor? The first doctor who accidentally saved the person's life as a cheat by cutting, unnecessary cutting, and ooh, there's a cancer there and removing it? Or the second doctor whose patient did not survive but was an honest, true doctor? We're not Nevi'im. We can't predict results. Our responsibility is to do the best we can. That's why very often you have to really need a Meir HaYirah. Sometimes you try your best with something. You really try your best. And you make your efforts and you want to help. And things don't work out the way you want to work out. And you feel terrible about it. And you need to know that's the results in Hashem's hands. Your responsibility is to ask yourself this question. Did I do the best I can do? And if you did the best you can do, then that's okay. But a person who has low self-esteem will be devastated by the failure, regardless of how careful he was in making the judgment. So therefore, what will he do? He will avoid making judgments. Let others make decisions for him. And if, you know why? Because then there's a protective mechanism there. If something goes bad, it's not his fault. He didn't make his decision. He didn't make any decision. But the problem is, this dereliction of making judgments, of deciding I'm not going to make decisions because I may fail in those decisions, or the results may not work out, lowers a person's self-esteem, makes them feel actually much worse. A person cannot feel good about himself if he allows others to decide things for him. And the failure to make judgments depresses one's self-esteem, continuing a vicious cycle. You'll lose goals. You don't have goals in life. You're constantly unsatisfied. You may live for the gratification of a moment. This is the problem of addiction. You experience a very pleasurable high, but as it passes, you're more miserable as ever. And this is what people do. They cannot feel good about themselves, so they seek momentary gratification to escape it. But you see, you don't have to be an addict to do that. All of us are guilty of that, even not being an addict. We seek momentary gratification, but we don't think of ourselves as drug addicts, but we are in a certain sense, because we're running and we're escaping. Obviously, there's a difference between someone who uses drugs or other types of things that are addictive versus someone who drifts through life motivated by momentary gratification, who's not an addict. There's definitely, obviously, a difference between the two. But in principle, in essence, they're very, very similar. Both are very unhappy, and both are using an escape route to escape their pain. It is very, very sad that this takes place. And you have here, he brings a young man, consulted him about a decision that he completed a year in training in radiology. He was not happy about that specialty. Was not deciding whether to switch. He wanted whether to switch now to anesthesiology or pathology. Prior to radiology, he had a year in internal medicine. Was not happy about that. And Rabbi Tursky asked him if he was in any other medical program or any other medical school, and he said he was in engineering. He didn't like that. So Rabbi Tursky began to suspect that young man was actually dissatisfied with himself rather with any particular profession or specialty. When someone drifts from one profession to another, trying this, trying that, continuously, it's not logical that it's a particular profession that he's not happy with, that he's yearning for a different one, but the person's not happy with themselves. And no matter where they move, no matter what they do, they will never be satisfied. And that is a very sad side here. Of running around without looking finally what you are. He brings a story. I'll say it very, very briefly. But you should really read it inside. It's fascinating. A stone cutter made a living cutting rocks out of a mountain. Backbreaking work. What do I need to do this for? Why am I doing this? And basically, he saw the king. And everyone said, bravo, king, it would be wonderful to be a king. And boom, he became a king. All of a sudden, he's a king in armor, royal couch, white horses, honor from the crowd. Ah, this is great. But then he began to feel uncomfortable. Sun was shining down, and he was wearing these robes, and it was hot. The mightiest king of the land, nothing should affect me, and this sun is affecting me. Oh, but the son can humble the king, then the son is mightier than the king. I want to be a son. Boom, now he's the son. Sun feels great, giving its light and energy all over the place and warmth. Oh, I'm great. All of a sudden, frustrated. He wants to push his rays a certain way. He can't. A cloud moved beneath it and blocked it. Ooh, I'm the strongest and mightiest. But if a cloud can frustrate the sun, then the cloud is stronger. I want to be a cloud. Boom. He's a cloud. The stone cutter now is a cloud, from a king to sun to cloud. Cloud could give rain whenever it wants. Oh, this feels great. Can block the mighty sun, even greater. But then all of a sudden a wind comes blowing it all over the place. Oh, the wind is stronger than the cloud. I want to be the wind. Okay, so now the stone cutter becomes a wind. The wind roars through oceans, blows through forests, feels great, like a hurricane. What more powerful than a hurricane? Now I'm really strong. But then all of a sudden there's a tall mountain, and he blows and blows and blows, cannot budge the mountain. Okay? then I want to be a mountain. Now the Stonecutter is a mountain. Huge mountain, like Mount Everest, peak of it reaching above the clouds, mightiest of all. Now he's a mountain. All of a sudden he feels a pain, a sharp pain on the side. What is this? There's a Stonecutter with a sharp pickaxe tearing pieces out of him. How could this be? This someone could dismember me. He must be even mightier than I am. And I want to be the strongest. I want to be that man. And his wish was granted. And guess what? He was transformed into the mightiest of all. Stonecutter. And that's what he was originally. Rurotursky told a story to this young man, who was always switching professions, and asked him to consider that maybe it's not a matter of switching specialties, but finding yourself. There are people who have changed friends and jobs and locations and religions, even spouses, and hope to find comfort, and they're futile. It only intensifies the problems. You have to find yourself. By the way, it's not the subject now, but in Shalom Bayis very often, for people who are couples, they need to wake up sometimes. Sometimes there are divorces that are absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. I'm not talking about those. So those who are listening about that, there's some that are necessary, and that's that. But for the ones that were not necessary, for the ones that weren't, they see it later when they remarry and these same problems crop up, and they realize simply, or even if it got better, they realize if they would have treated their spouse, their first one, better, they would be even happier, perhaps. So that's the idea, changing yourself, not changing scenarios. You know, people ask who they are. I'm a lawyer, I'm a teacher. People don't say, I'm a caring person, I love people, or I'm a person that likes solitude, or I prefer music, or I'm a religious person. No, they say what they do versus what they are. People seek external identities, but external identities are fickle. They pass. They get carried away in the wind. And one needs to learn how to value oneself. One needs to learn how to not be self-destructive, to be the chairman of the board, to be the decisive factor in your own life, in making your own decisions. Bracha v'atzlacha.